Blog Talk Radio.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the time will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe. We know that hope is never lost. Oh, for there is still an empty grave. God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. God, we believe.
We have to believe for it. Why? Because that's what the Word of God says. We believe for it. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill if she'll be so kind to give us a word of prayer and we can get into the lesson. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Good afternoon. And thank you, Pastor, for another beautiful song. Amen. The scripture I'd like to read is coming from Lamentation 3 and verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. And verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thanking you, Lord, for our pastor as he teaches the word, Father God. We ask that you will bless him and use him mightily, and Holy Ghost, just come boldly through him, that we are able to receive the word, Father God. We ask that you will bless those who called in today, those who will participate, and be with those who are listening by internet. Father God, we ask that you bless each and every one that is struggling with some type of sickness or whatever it is in their body. Your word said, by your stripes we're healed. So Lord, touch them in the name of Jesus, that they will have a testimony for you, Father God. And then be with those who are bereaved, Lord. Comfort their hearts, Father God. And let a word be spoken to them that they'll have that peace of mind, Father God. And Lord, be with those that are going through right now, Lord, not knowing which way to turn and seeking closer walk with you and want to be led by your spirit. We ask that you will bless them, Father God. And Lord, we just thanking you for each and every one this afternoon. Continue, Lord, to bless Evangelist Renee, Evangelist Sharon, and also Pastor's daughter. Continue, Lord, to heal them. They will have that testimony from you, Father God, and give you thanks. And we thank you, Lord, for all things. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. There's a lot of things I wanted to share, but I was disturbed a little bit by someone text me, and they wanted to know where this were. You know, I'm teaching people that God said we are ministers and ambassadors, and this is our job.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of scriptures came to mind, so I said, well, you know what? I pray to God you're listening today, because I'm going to show it to you right in the Word of God. Let's see here. It's in Luke 14:23. Well, now I can go to Matthew 28. And we'll probably go there too. But I want to show you a couple of scriptures to let you know God have called us to do this, brothers and sisters. God ain't never called us to start no church.
Come on,
somebody just showed me that. I don't know the whole Bible. I'll tell you right off, I don't know the whole Bible. But I know he called us to ministry, and what he called us to minister to, and where he called us to minister to where. So, but we've been called to the ministry. That's what we've been calling. And we are to continue in the hope of our calling. Now, I'm not saying everybody in here, everybody right here. No, what I'm saying to you is the Word of God declare that. God have called those things to be not as though they were. He called us to ministry. That's what God did. Now, if you accept it or not, that's a whole nother ball game. See if Evangelist William, are you able to read today?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay, all right. Well, let's look at Luke 14:23 from the King James, and I just want to clear up something, brothers and sisters. Then we're gonna get back into where we were. But I want to clear up something first.
Yes, Luke 14:23, King James Version, read, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, the Master said, "Then go to the country roads, whoever you find, drag them in. I want my house full." Amen.
Now, first of all, okay, now we're going to do Matthew 28:29.
Matthew
28:19-20. I'm sorry if I said something else. I was thinking of something else, but I don't know if I said Matthew 28:19-20.
Matthew 28:19-20.
I'm sorry. Start at 18. I apologize. I want everybody to get the full understanding of this. Start at 18 for me. Thank you.
Matthew 28:18-20, King James Version. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
Amen. Send the message, Bible. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Amen.
Okay. I'd like for some of that to soak in for a minute, because I don't want y'all to miss what's actually being said here and what's going on. Jesus commanded us to go ye therefore into all the world and declare the word of God. Listen, brothers and sisters. To understand this story, men would sit at the table with Jesus over in Luke, and he saw the glory of God's kingdom. But he did it not yet understand how to get into Jesus' kingdom, how the story really went. So Jesus had to pretty much give him a parable. Many of these people would turn down the invitation, sort of like a banquet. And that's what they call those things, like a banquet. Mm-hmm. But somebody help me. What you do at a banquet? How that go? What that look like?
Sit down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What'd you say, Evangelist William?
You sit down and you have a dinner.
Okay. And what did you say, Pastor?
Amen. That's what I was going to say as well.
Okay. So So when they would give invitation to this banquet, because it was a way of the Jews, the Pharisees, they showed that they was part of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's. And the Gentile were not allowed. They stood out. And they were not allowed to participate in their tradition. And so Jesus Christ was instructing them to go, and he gave an illustration of that and the parable of the Great Supper. It is a blessing of God, both the present and the future life for the Jews. So when you can understand these things, which I know you all do, I'm not saying you don't, God went a step farther by having mercy to the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles were anybody that was not a Jew, namely born a Jew. Now, all this stuff is important because it's part of your ministry. You can't reject people because they're not your color, or you can't reject people because they're not into what you're into. No, you've been commissioned to go and invite them to God's stuff. Invite them to sit down with God. Come, let us reason together. So the parable Christ told that themselves, as they was very time rejecting the invitation of mercy, they called on God's kingdom, and he showed them the invitation, which had that had been sent to them. The same thing today. God is telling us that we just don't go and choose our guests. We just don't choose our friends. You got to read the whole story in Luke 14 and also in Luke 12, too, 12:24. You got to read the story. But this is for, I'm trying to answer a question for somebody. Jesus says, go ye, therefore, into all the world. It doesn't matter. Don't be like the Jews. They only gave invitation to their friends to the banquet.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of us, we just want family members to be part of God's kingdom. Brother and sister, that's wrong. And I know what you've been taught, because I was taught the same stuff. You want friends. So a lot of times you go into these organizations, that's what you see. You see a bunch of people that know each other, and they brought each other to the house. Go and get your family. Go get your mother. Your daughter. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying Jesus said, go out. And he says, compel.
Yeah.
You know, I need some help with that, somebody. Can somebody tell me, enlighten me on that? What it really means to compel. He seemed to be telling us to respond to God's invitation and we have to compel them to respond to that invitation. That must be real important thing with God, that he wanted us to compel man. What that means?
Require, demand.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Amen.
And here we're walking around not doing that. And God is telling us to compel.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? I didn't know that God put that kind of requirement on the church, that we are to compel men to come unto him. Not just our family, not just, I'm talking about total strangers. So
Amen.
You ask the question, why should we go out? Because God said to go out. God said to go out and compel men to come unto him. He said that. I didn't say this. He said, go ye into all the world. I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
And over in the King James Version in Matthew 28, he says, go. Do y'all see anywhere in there he tells the world, come to the church? He don't say come. He's telling us to go.
Yeah.
I don't know how they got that twisted like that. Maybe they was lazy. Maybe that was something the enemy throwed in there and people reversed what Jesus had said to do. He told the world, y'all come to this building. He ain't said that. You won't find that in Scripture. He told the church or his disciples. If I understand disciples right, is that a follower, pastor? Is that like an imitator? What was a disciple, pastor? Y'all got to help me out today.
A disciple is a follower of Christ. So they're teachers as well.
Okay. Because that's what Christ was doing. He was teaching them what the Father say. So we are required to go and to teach all nations. I don't see where it says black. I don't see where it says white. I don't see where it says Mexican, Latino, Arab. It says all nations. Now put a pin there. So I know some of y'all might work with different kind of people. They're included right here, all nations.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I don't care where you meet them at. All nation. And you can take that word nation to mean whatever. But it means all people, for a better way of saying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pastor, did you read that in the Messenger Bible, 18 through 20?
Yes, Pastor.
Read that again.
You read it again?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptizing them in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Amen.
First of all, it's a guarantee that God is going to be with you when you're doing this. Like, you know, people go back to Luke 14 and you'll see that. He gave the parable about the lily. They neither sow nor weep. I mean, you can see that great illustration there. But right here, he's telling us, God's going to be with you. You ain't got to worry about it. If you'll go and you'll command these people or teach these people to observe the things that Christ have taught us through Scripture, God said, I'm going to be with you to every bit of it. Now, here's a wake-up call. You don't have to run and get a preacher. No, you can do this. I don't care if you do it in the backyard. I don't care if you're doing the bathtub. I don't care where you do it at. Baptize them. Because this is only symbolic of what's going to happen to them when the Spirit gets in them. That's all this is. Now, I know we all been taught, oh, you got to let the preacher baptize you. If I understand this right, and to how you slice it, the disciples, the followers of Christ, were commissioned and commanded to baptize.
Amen.
Because the Bible says Christ said, I was commanded to commission you, to give you the power to go and do this. So your authority coming from the Word of God. And see, that's another thing. You got to put the Word of God first in your life. You got to put it where it belongs. And we'll get into that another time. Because that lies the problem right there. You don't want to put the Word of God first. You rather put what man say first or what this one think. You got to put the Word of God first, brother and sister. That's the way this works. Okay? That's exactly the way this works. Don't work no other way. You put the Word of God first. That eliminates a whole lot of stuff right there. When you put the Word of God first, then you ain't debating where you got your information from. So if I'm correct in this Matthew scripture here, if I'm correct, Jesus said to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Who he said to do that? The followers. There ain't no pastor.
Amen.
Remember our job over there in Matthew. We're to reconcile people over there in Corinthians. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:18. We're to reconcile people back to God. He have given us that ministry to reconciliation. That is to tell people God ain't mad with us. He loves us. He wants us just the way we are. He want to help us to get that to that place. He want to help us through our change. He want to help us. And now you ain't got to get all dressed up. And you ain't got to get all of this. And you ain't got to do this. And do, come just as you are. For real, for real.
Amen.
So that's the ministry. That's part of the ministry of reconciliation. And Jesus said, now, if you'll do this, I'll be with you. Now, here's another thing I'm going to point out to the young man that had questions. All power is given to Christ in heaven and in earth. So who cares about what your preachers say? Who cares? I don't care.
All right.
What I care about is what the Word of God say. So you can tell him, I ain't going. I'm right here. And every day that I'm on the broadcast, I always pronounce my name. I let the people know my name. I ain't trying to hide nothing.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, when I tell people, welcome to the Word at Noon, I tell them that I was called by God. I tell people I'm an apostle. I tell them my name. It's no secret. Now, so go back and tell him. I'm right here. He can come on the broadcast and if you have any question. But you have the right to go and minister. I'm going to have to read this scripture again. That's if you believe. But if you don't believe these scriptures, then you got issues. Because that's one of the problems right there. People don't put the Word of God first. That's what I've learned. And we may even get into that tomorrow. But I have to tell you that in 2 Corinthians 5, I'm happy to read this too. See, a lot of times I like the people to read this stuff so they can't say, I said it. They can say, oh, it came right out the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, through 20. I think that's where we was at. But here it is right here. Evangelist William, would you be so kind to read that from the King James Version? Okay. Did I lose you?
I'm sorry, Pastor, one moment. 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, and in putting their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. One moment. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Amen.
Okay, let me say one thing in that 19th verse. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not, don't y'all hear that, not in putting their trespasses unto them. So he didn't put a sin back on them. He didn't do that one.
Amen.
He didn't do that. All right, read it, Pastor.
Okay, from the Message Bible, 18 through 20. All this comes from the guy who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We're Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. Amen.
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 It's powerful, brothers and sisters.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
First of all, everything we're talking about is of God. This is God stuff. So make sure you tell the preacher it's God stuff, not mine. Now, this God stuff, it says, and all things are of God. Ain't my stuff. God stuff. Who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, yeah, and have given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. That's our ministry.
Yeah.
Same thing Jesus said, yeah, over there in Matthew 28. Same thing we're talking about in the book of Luke, 14th chapter. Go ye therefore. This is his stuff. This ain't my stuff. He the one said go. And when you go with the purpose of reconciling or reconciliation. He says,
yeah,
with that God was in Christ. Then Christ just tells us that he's going to be with us even to the end of the world. Did not read that?
Yeah.
Of course you read that.
Thanks.
Just like he was with Jesus Christ, he's going to be with us. All we have to do is walk,
yeah,
by this faith, brothers and sisters, reconciling the world unto himself, and not, I can't overemphasize that, because people want to teach people sin is in them. Even when they meet,
mm-hmm,
the Lord, well, you still got to do this, you got to do that. No, he don't, once God reconciles you, once he tells you, but hey, we making up. Here's my gift. He brings gift. He want to show you his friendship. He already there.
Yeah.
He waiting on us to come. He waiting on us. Yeah. He says, you know what? And I'm not going to input their trespasses on them. I ain't going to put it back on them. They couldn't handle it then, and they ain't going to handle it when I put it back. So I'm not putting it back on. So anybody is teaching you to be sin conscience, they lying. Be righteous conscience. Be righteous,
yeah,
conscience. Know that God said, I'm not putting that on you anymore. I'm not putting their trespasses onto them. I'm not doing that. Rather, he says, I have committed unto them the word of reconciliation.
Thank you.
I just love that. And how do you know that's true? Because he says, now then, after you get this understood, after you understand this, he says, now then, we are. Didn't he say that? Did we read that? We are ambassadors for Christ.
Yes, amen.
We represent, we coming to you just as though if God would come. We're your ambassadors.
Yeah. Amen.
Anybody know any ambassadors? Anybody know what an ambassador does? Tell the world. Help me out. Let's teach the people. Let's teach the people this stuff. That just don't let it be on me. This is just as much part of you as it is me. Let's teach the people that ambassadors, what they are. It's a big job. It's a big job.
Yeah.
An ambassador is like one of the highest ranking of the order or whatever. I don't care if it's the government or your group or your organization. When you have an ambassador, and the Bible said we are ambassadors for Christ.
Yeah.
Just like Andrew Young used to be the ambassador. They say he was one of the greatest ambassadors the United States ever had. So when they know he would go as an agent, he was going to make something happen. He represented, and the government backed him up. Whatever he would offer, government back it up. Didn't matter.
Amen. Amen.
He's a representative. That's what we are. We're a representative of Christ. You have the power to delegate.
Yeah.
And in a sense, ambassador is like a minister, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, what we call their foreign ministers, those are ambassadors. So when you hear people talk about foreign ministers, those are ambassadors. They represent their country.
Amen.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with us. As we go forth in Christ, we are all ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
Not just...
Yeah.
One or two. He says we all are. That's you, and you. All of us. Doesn't matter. We are ambassadors.
Amen.
Now, if that ain't clear enough for you, my friend, you know, catch me again. We'll clear it up. But I'm not gonna clear it up on the phone with you. I'm gonna clear it up on the phone with everybody. Because I don't know who else may be thinking, oh, well, he's just trying to tell us. I ain't trying to tell you what to do. That's what the Word of God telling you what to do. He tells you that real plain. God said this. He ain't said nothing about apostle need to tell you this. Or it said God did this stuff, man. And these things are of God. These things are of God. Being a new creature is of God. Old things that pass away is of God. That's not me. When he tells you not to know people after the flesh, that's of God. That's not me. God saying
Amen.
This. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he says your past life is past, that didn't come from me. That came from God. And when he says all things are become new, that came from God. That's not my stuff.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, that's not even revelation, brothers and sisters. That's simply reading your Bible. There ain't nothing new. It's been there. Last time I checked, it's the number one bestseller book in the world. It was here 4,000 years ago. It been here before the oldest city in the world. I mean, it the Word of God been here, man. What? Right, like it's something I done wrote and stuck it up on New York Times bestsellers list. No, this stuff been here. I'm just sharing with you what the Spirit is allowing me, and I thank the Spirit too. Trust me, I thank Him for being able to share this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Any comments? But we come to a part where everybody can play. Listen, brothers and sisters, I just want this to be clear. I thank God for finding his grace in me.
Yeah.
I really do. I'm serious when I tell you this. Because I understand that for by grace are we saved. That's how I'm saved. It was God's grace. And it was through my faith in the Word of God. And ain't nothing I did, not of myself. It was God's gift.
Yeah.
And his gift went beyond just Christ. That was the start of it. But to let you know, it was his gift of grace. It was his gift of mercy.
Yeah.
And in that gift, there was salvation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
I ain't trying to offer somebody anything that I'm not asking for myself. If I would tell that whole story about the Pharisees, how they would, when they would have banquets and stuff, they would only invite their important people, important friends, and important people was the folks they would invite. Then they would only enjoy. No one else to enjoy. Well, that's not what God doing. God telling everybody to come. Come to the feast. Do I need to take you to the book of Revelation? See, he telling everybody to come to the feast. He wants us all to be part of this party, this banquet, this invitation. All of us. That's including your pastor too. God don't. He don't shut no doors and lock folks out. Well, now, if you didn't pay your tithes, you can't do this. Or you can't do that. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've heard this through several people. But I've heard that even there are some churches that you are required to show your W-2 form. Can I get one amen on that?
Amen. Amen. I heard it too, Ben.
Yeah. God ain't requiring that. He inviting you to the feast. He inviting you to the banquet no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And he ain't trying to tell you that if you don't come, that you're going to keep your sins. He ain't trying to tell you that. He's not putting it back on you if you don't do this and don't do that. That's not the God that we're serving here. This God finds grace in you.
Yeah.
The eyes of the Lord find grace, man. He did it with Noah. He did it with Elizabeth. He did it with Mary. He did it with Moses.
Yeah.
He finds grace in his servant. You're serving the people who believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
You want to find grace in the eyes of God. How do you do that? He found grace in Jacob. Let me tell you what that really means. That really means God looking for some of him still in you.
Okay.
Some of his favor.
Amen.
Still in you. Some of his love is still in you.
Mm-hmm.
I had to clear up that. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to get back into that, but we'll get back into it tomorrow. I had to clear up something. And so I hope you all accept it as such. But we'll be right back into it tomorrow, teaching. That's what God have called us, to the ministry of reconciliation, man. That's not going to change. I don't care what he said. That ain't going to change. It's right there. It ain't going to change. His philosophy, his doctrine, all that stuff may change. But this, the word of God ain't going to change. God ain't going to repent. He ain't going to take that back. He He called us. Now, if you accept the calling, there's a whole nother ball game. I don't have nothing to do with that. Feel like he's saving us by his grace. God ain't going to take that back. That's what he uses. That's the tool, for a better way of saying it. That's the tool he used to save us. It's his grace. And that's the same tool we're going to use going forward to lead people to Christ. And we have the power because Christ has the power. Because we're in Christ, and Christ in us is the hope of glory.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, anybody else have anything else they want to share?
Well, Pastor, I just wanted to read 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 16 through 21 from the New Living Translation. It says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sin, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen. So that sums up what you were just saying, Pastor. Yeah. Amen. We're Christ's ambassadors. And I like that where it says God is making his appeal through us.
Say that again.
Amen. Yes, he is. God is
and he's doing
his
that through us, y'all. If I'm understanding this correctly, that's what we're to do. We're going out representing Christ and making God's appeal to people, telling them, no, we don't have a kingdom, but God has one. We don't have righteousness, but God has some. We don't have, you know, but God has it. That's the whole idea here. And it's theirs, like it's ours when we claim it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
See, if people only get it, the friendship was broken. It was broken. And how do let me tell y'all? Look at this from a real global perspective. God said, okay, the friendship was broken for the whole world. Now, how do I go by getting the friendship back together? Think about it like that. Usually a man would bring roses. He'll bring a gift, okay? Some men bring roses. Some men bring candy. I mean, they even get deep when you get rich. to bring a car. There you go, baby. This is to make things right. And then now, let me not be prejudiced here, because there are women who know how to do the same, because they don't have a lot of these worldly problems. They know, hey, well, let me make amends, you know. Hey, I was wrong, so let me give him, because I know men get roses. That's right. I know men who've been given candy.
Mm-hmm.
I know men who have been taken out. But the point of it is, when you mending your friendship back together, you give something. So God said, you know what? I'm going to give the whole world Christ and let the whole world know that I'm not mad, that I'm friends now. I want to restore. Because, see, that's what reconciling is. It's restoring, bringing about harmony. Oh, yeah. I know I'm right now. I know I'm right.
Yeah.
That's what that word means. It means to bring about harmony or to bring about friendship. When you're restoring something, is to make something consistent with what they had before, to forget the differences and to bring back that freedom of friendship, relationship, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
But whatever you had different. Yeah. So he gave that gift. Well, our job is to go and express this to the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ones you think that saved, they ain't saved. They playing religious stuff. They playing church. But thank you, Pastor, for summing that up for us over there in 2 Corinthians. And what book you read that out of, the New Living Bible?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else? Press one.
Didn't read Luke 28:23, Pastor. Can we read that before we close out?
Oh, yeah. You want to read that, Evangelist William?
That was Luke 20.
Mm-mm. 14.
Luke 14. What verse?
That's what, when you talking about, Pastor?
Yes.
You talking about Luke 14:23?
Yes, Pastor.
And 20.
Luke.
What, yeah. And, well, no, that was in Luke 12:20-24. And the other was in, Luke 14:23. So it was Luke 14:23 and Luke 12:24. Just for clarity.
Okay.
Just for clarity. I think it was Luke. But now when it comes to the 14th chapter, I wanted you to read that whole thing so you can see that whole story about the invitation and how the guest was invited to the feast or to the banquet, whatever, and how the invitation was accepted. That was in Luke 14 through 20. But 23rd was the verse. And on Luke 12, it was the 24th verse. So if you'd be so kind, so just for clarity, everybody, that would be Luke 14:23 and Luke 12:24. Okay. Go for it.
Okay. Luke 12:24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Luke 12:24 and Luke 14:23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, Luke 12:24. Just make sure for a little bit further. Don't fuss about what's on the table at meal times, or if the clothes in your closet are in fashion. There is far more to your inner life than the food you put in your stomach, more to your outer appearance than the clothes you hang on your body. Look at the ravens, free and unfettered, not tied down to a job description, carefree in the care of God, and you count far more. Amen. And you count far more. Amen. And then Luke 14:23, the master said, then go to the country roads, fine, drag them in. I want my house full. And verse 24 says, let me tell you, not one of those originally invited is going to get so much as a bite at my dinner party. Amen.
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 Praise God. So you was talking about where it said to go, that we are to go. And that's also what's telling us in the New Living Translation, in that 14:23. It says, so his master said, go out into the country lane and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come, so that the house will be full. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
I want us to do. Amen.
Now we're talking about God's kingdom. We ain't talking about some building now. See, that's
Amen.
The kind of stuff. It ain't about God. They took it out of God and they put it in there. Oh, it's so, no, that's your house. That ain't God's house. That's your house. We're God's house. We're his husbandry.
Mm-hmm.
We're his building.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 6.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I just hate when people get things twisted. We've gotten it twisted long enough. About time we straighten out some stuff. About time somebody be bold enough to correct. That's what the gospel is for, brothers and sisters. 2 Timothy 3:16. And people that don't want God to correct them, they can't be his disciple. So the church need to allow God to correct us in way of the word of God, so that we can walk according to the word of God. It's just that simple, man. Again, maybe we'll pick it up tomorrow and we'll talk about these spiritual gifts and how God bless us with the peace and grace. And maybe we need to get into the word of God a little bit, because that's God's perfect people. It's the people who's in his word. The word of God in us is what matters.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Amen.
And I'm going to show something else, because I said something else to somebody else. They didn't know it. You're supposed to be the living word. We are.
Yeah.
Just like
yeah.
you people
yeah.
read this printed word, we are living epistles. And I'll start with that tomorrow. Because I want you to see, when you're in God's word and you're teaching the word, you become just like God. You become a living epistle.
Mm-hmm.
And how can God not honor that? Because you're walking in obedience. Okay. Well, hey, thank you guys so much. I appreciate you. We look to see you all tomorrow for the